This week, I picked up a new pair of glasses. I had been using the last pair for about 2 years without any known trouble, very little trouble. And so at the end of the exam, I was a little surprised when I found myself with a significantly updated prescription. I've worn glasses since second grade, so the glasses part didn't surprise me. The little tweaks here and there, you all know this, are kind of part of the process that you go in for. But imagine my surprise when I put them on for the first time this week and I saw it was really easier to read. It was just crisper, the world around me. I hadn't realized how much I needed the visual benefit until I saw that my eyes had changed. Now, there are some of you who have 20/20 vision without any assistance. God bless you. This is wonderful. It's apparently about 35% of adults. That's great. I'm looking around. That may be true. If you add in glasses and contacts, apparently about 75% of us can then see at about a 20/20 with that added correction. The remainder utilize some corrective measurements but don't achieve that number. The majority of us need assistance and support in one way or another to see fully, clearly, or like me, to know what our eyes have gotten used to seeing. Our clarity more fully comes not only from a good pair of glasses, but from discerning God's call, from making a clear plan, and from embracing together our collective role. Hopefully, we're not always seeing like this. Discipleship isn't a solo sport. It's a team one, and we join together to where God's calling us. So Peter and Andrew were out fishing together, and James and John not far away. And when one part of the catch was too large, y'all know this, the other part would come and help them out, and vice versa. When Jesus called Peter and Andrew, James and John also went with them, leaving their fishing boats and following him after one of the most successful catches they'd ever had. Earlier this month, this story was a part of our chapel time with our preschoolers. Each week, Melanie and I take turns with the preschoolers. We have a story, and then we sing a song, and we say a prayer together. The catch, the call of the disciples, captured their imagination. We talked about the splish splash of the boat. Y'all can imagine preschoolers doing this for a moment. And catching the number of fish, how it went from zero to many, beyond how many we could count. When one of our little friends said, when Jesus called the disciples, it happened right away. So did they leave the boat out in the middle of the ocean? Is the boat still there? They wanted to know what had happened to the boat that Peter and Andrew and James and John, did anyone get the boat yet? This little guy wanted the boat that they had left behind. My preschool friends understood that when you follow Jesus, you're all in. You're focused on what it looks like to follow Jesus, even if it means some change in your life. To focus on Jesus is a vision that God will lead you. It's the inspiration and the heart of looking where God will lead you. So in June of this last year, we had a strategic planning team that gathered together to look at just this question. Where are we looking into the future? And they met through the summer and through the fall. They had some conversations about strengths and weaknesses, opportunities. What does it look like? when the Holy Spirit came upon the people at Pentecost, they were reminded of the words of Joel the prophet. You heard him this morning. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The early Jesus movement knew that when there was a vision of who God is and what God's doing, their actions would be informed by this. Our strategic plan has that same energy and hope behind it. I want to share three of the initiatives with you this morning. The first, Jesus called the disciples to fish for people. They continued with the heart of their occupation, fishing, while following Jesus. And Jesus asks us to do the same. You and I, we fish too, even if, like the kids up here, we may never have actually baited a hook. We didn't take a survey of who out here has done the fishing. But we share the good news of Jesus where the water is deep and where the fish are biting. Did you know the average adult spends 3 hours a day on their mobile phone? How do you measure up? Is that about right? Maybe not. Three times as much as we do eating. So for every hour we eat, we spend time on the phone. That's interesting. The average teenager, you ready for this, spends up to 7 hours a day on their phone. I'm so grateful for the social media teaching that Melanie is doing with our youth right now and continues to be engaged with. Looking forward, our vision encourages and increases our engagement as a congregation on social media and on our website and on live streaming. Go where the fish are biting. To spread the good news, God invites us to share in all the ways we can to all the people we can. We're currently active on Facebook with daily prayer meditations and events, with updates and pictures and articles. And we're projecting what it looks like in the next year or so to add Instagram and other medium as well in order to be where people are. Our website is our digital front door. When people come in worship for the first time, they tell me regularly that they've already seen who we are as a part of our website. Enhancing this is like getting a new coat of paint and updating the bathroom. If you've ever done those projects at home, you have a sense of what's involved there. We do it regularly and really intentionally. Families determine whether or not to walk in a door based on what the digital front door looks like. You and I, we want to share God's love and bless our digital neighbors as they knock on our door. To be present in worship is not always a possibility for folks, especially as they're traveling or as they're homebound. What live streaming does is offer beloved connection for those beyond the walls of this building. Opening up more ways to share God's word is indeed a gift to many. We are renewing this initiative. Some of you will remember we've experimented with this. And for this, we look for how additional folks might support the great ministry that's already happening in the sound booth. Our technology team, thanks be to God for them, are indeed some of the support behind sharing God's word in multiple media. Many of you, I'm quoting now the 3 hours we're spending, you and I, have know-how and a desire to share with others. Maybe you'd be more comfortable from behind a computer screen or a device. Our technology team would love to expand those responding to the call through those media. Jesus called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to step out of the boat after showing them their success in fishing. The team is recommending going forward in the next 2 years with a financial support campaign. We give thanks to God that in 2019, not only was God faithful, but God's people were faithful. Your generosity, coupled with the watchful spending of our staff and ministry teams, led to a surplus in 2019, and we give thanks to God for that kind of faithfulness. Our trustees have done a full analysis of our facilities. Thanks be to God for our trustees, building and ground, and looking forward to what will be needed in the future, from roof to carpeting to HVAC units to refrigerators. They could give you all the details on this thing. And this looks forward to generating additional support for the mission and ministry that we are already doing and establishing a strong economic future for our congregation. The third one I want to share with you this morning is highlighting our youth. I give thanks to God for our youth. In 2019, we had approximately 25 youth who participated in our youth program, and not only from our church, but from our community. So we look forward to what it looks like for activities to draw youth from the community, as well as offer education for parents and engage 5th and 6th graders as they come up. This will sound familiar to you all, thanks be to God, as we look forward to sharing God's love with another generation. Many of our youth begin by trying out a low-key event like dodgeball or laser tag. There's one who recently said, after starting to attend youth, it was her friend who had invited her, "Is there a lot of God talk that goes on in that place? I might not be comfortable." And she decided to try it out because of dodgeball and laser tag. She later began attending youth group and said, "I'm just interested in learning a little bit about God." Step by step, you and I are called to follow Jesus, to show others how to do likewise. Raising children and teenagers is hard work. It may be the most understated statement I've said, but to equip our community and our families, this year we'll have an opportunity to provide a forum for anxiety in our children and our teens. The Center for Disease Control, who tracks these health statistics for us, tells us just how needed this is in our community. We look forward in the beginning of next year to offering for our rising 5th and 6th graders a group just for them. Many of you have told me that it was in a young Methodist fellowship that you found connection and that you began to grow your faith. Earlier in my ministry, I served a small town congregation, and there were two close friends who told me this story. They were neighbors right next door, Nancy and Heidi, and they lived next to each other for many years. They were close as they spent time together, but it was always in that setting. Now, Nancy was always talking about what she did at church, and she invited Heidi a whole bunch of times. Heidi had every reason why she was never going to a church. She'd been burned a number of times before, and Nancy persisted across years. It was decades later, they'd been friends for a whole bunch of years, decades later, when Heidi decided she would come to a potluck just to make her quiet already, no other reason. And Heidi found there were a couple people she knew people weren't so bad. And a couple months later, she said, I'll just come once on a Sunday morning if you just stop asking so much. And she found herself coming to church. By the time I served there, she was an active member, and she said something to me that I've hung on to. She said, Pastor, it's your job to preach, and it's our job to invite. Pastor, it's your job to preach, and it's our job then to invite. She heard the call of the disciple, embrace the vision that God had given, and there, relationship was developed. As you and I go forward into 2020, may we too hear God calling us. Jesus, come and follow me, and embrace the clarity and the vision that God grants. This, my friends, is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.